Okay, greetings everybody. I am back to my Revelation verse by verse online with some brothers and sisters here. We are in Revelation chapter 2. Today we're going to do verses 6 through 9. And you can catch up, go to don'tperish.com, look at the verse by verse tab. You can catch up at all the other verse by verses I've done. Revelation and Matthew and all the other ones, you can catch up there. But for today, it's going to be Revelation 2. Verses 6 through 9. Let's get going right into it. All right, verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. All right, so the context here is Christ is talking to the bodies, all these seven bodies. And in this case, he's talking about that he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He's telling the Ephesus body that they're right in hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans that he also hates. So what this tells us is gives us a little window into who God is. God does hate. Yeah, a lot of people think he doesn't. He does. Psalm 5:5. The foolish will not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That would be sin. Iniquity is sin. So God hates workers of iniquity. And the Nicolaitans are mentioned here. There's only one other place they're mentioned, Revelation 2:15. Thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. All right, so again, it's another reminder that God hates sin and false ways. Psalm 119:104 tells us that. And we should as well. It's a good example. We're his people. We love what he loves, hate what he hates. So Nicolaitans, what do we make of this? Well, as I'm doing this Revelation verse by verse, I promised when I started, I would never be dogmatic where I can't be dogmatic. I might tell you some historical points, but I'll tell you they're historical points. They're not biblical, inspired scripture points. Per scripture, we have virtually nothing about the Nicolaitans. We know that they had a false doctrine that Christ hated. Now, this is history. Let me just explain. Some people say that Nico means conquer in the Greek. So Nicolaitans. Some people say this was a group that was set on some unbiblical conquering. I've read a few things, very little, that they were warmongers. I've read other people that they wanted to overtake and lord over people. Again, not biblical, just history. But we have very little dogmatic to go on. We have virtually nothing to go on dogmatically about the Nicolaitans. So I'm not telling you nothing dogmatic about them, other than they're mentioned in Revelation. They had false ways. Christ hates their false ways. The bodies that were around them hated their false ways. And Christ praised them for that. So the best lesson we could take out of this is false doctrine God hates. His people should hate it and purge it out. Christ praises his bodies for doing that. I will say that some people also said the Nicolaitans, according to history, taught all kinds of false worship and heresy. But again, I'm not going into that because it's not biblical doctrine. We don't know exactly what that is. So what we have is what we have. Christ says, but this thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. We'll leave it right there. And when we get to verse 15, we'll cover about the Nicolaitans again. Verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto thee churches. The better word is ecclesia, the called out ones. That word here in the Greek is akouo. I have a young brother named akouo. Why? He heard the gospel. He heard the God's truth. He listened and he heard it and it went to his heart and he obeyed it. So to hear is not just like an audible sound. It means you grasp God's word within you. You take it in and you act on it as truth. John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's word, Jesus says. Ye therefore heareth them not because you're not of God. John 8, he tells the people, Satan's your father, because they can't hear the word of God. So when we preach the gospel or when we teach sound doctrine, if people can't hear it, reject it, don't want to hear it, they're not born of God per Jesus. They're born of Satan, or they're Satan's children with Satan as their father, because he's the father of lies. So that's an important thing to remember. Who are you born of, God, or are you of Satan? So we hear the word of God to be of God. Makes sense. And then it says the Spirit is speaking to his body, the ecclesia, and this is always wise to heed to the Spirit of God. Why? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. Christ praises these bodies in Revelation here for their obedience, and he calls out sin as well. And again, I want to reiterate, he hates sin. He hates false ways. He praises the bodies that stand against it. So much for not judging. So much for just going along like they do today in churchianity. Oh no, we're to be a spotless, blameless bride for Christ. He praises them for standing against heresy. Paul tells us in Romans 16, 17, mark those who teach contrary to sound doctrine and avoid them. That's what Christ is praising the bodies for right here. Back to that word spirit. Spirit in the Greek means pneuma. It means the breath of God. It's how God speaks and gets his will done around the earth and with man and with his angels. Go look at the book of creation, the book of Genesis, which is about creation. And it says the Spirit of God moved over the earth and he created Christ the Creator. And so the Spirit is speaking to the bodies. We need to listen to see what he's saying. And then it says this, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That word overcome, Niko, it means to conquer. Remember I said the Nicolaitans might have been called Nicolaitans because they conquered things. Don't know if that's true or not. It's what some people have said. It's not dogmatic. But this word overcome, Niko, it means conquer, carry off to victory, be victorious in Christ, overcome your foes, to maintain one standing to win the case. All right? So this is more evidence. Christ doesn't say, I did it all, just believe and I'm going to do it all. No, Christ says, I did it by the gospel, my shed blood, resurrection, repentance to me, my Spirit in you, new life, holiness and obedience, overcoming and enduring to the end. We see endurance and overcoming is needed over and over and over. I think overcoming is 8 times in Revelation, 7 or 8 times in the book of Revelation. So that's what it means, Niko, to be victorious in Christ, to conquer, to maintain your case. It means to endure, basically, overcome all the trials. Christ goes on to tell this next body that they need to overcome. And then notice it says, to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Sound familiar, saints? Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we're going to see archetypes from the Old Testament Genesis in Revelation, and of the garden, and that's one of them we see right there. And so he tells them they must overcome, to endure, to eat of eternal life. It reminds me of Christ is the manna. Christ is the bread of life. The manna rained down in the desert. That's all the Israelites had to eat when they were running or got out of Egypt. Christ is our living bread. We live by every word of the mouth of God. We feast on the word of God. Christ is the word made flesh. Whole bunch of beautiful archetypes in the word of God. And then verse 8, he moves on to a new body. It says, and unto the angel of the ecclesia, the called out ones, in Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I love that right there. We'll get to that. Here it goes on and says, via his angel. Go back and read my chapter 1 study. Angels aren't pastors like some people say. They're literal angels. As we go through the book of Revelation, we're going to see how the angels are used so powerfully in the book of Revelation, bringing wrath and bowls of judgment. They're not pastors. These are literal spiritual angels. Okay? And the angels are addressing this another body, Smyrna. Now, it's called the persecuted body. We'll find out why when we get down to some later verses. History says that Smyrna was located in modern-day Turkey, and I did a little bit of research, and they said today the town is called Izmir. A couple million people live in this town called Izmir that was once called Smyrna. That's what history says. That's not from Scripture. And I love what this part says. The first and the last. Remember in the previous Revelation study? That's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. Christ is the all and the all. I love that. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's everything in between. He's Genesis. He's Revelation. He's everything in between. The whole Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ. I think we're seeing that. It echoes all over, as well as the gospel echoing all over. And here we have the gospel echoed. It says the Alpha, the Omega, or the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I love that. He died, shed his blood for our sins. He rose again to defeat death. And I like what Brother Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:14. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. When I street preach, I always tell people that mock us, you know, if you can prove what I'm doing is false, that Christ is false, and all this is false, please do so, because I'm wasting my whole life. But I don't believe it is. I know Christ is risen, and we're not preaching in vain. So I love that, the gospel laced through the book of Revelation. And I've been saying, like I said, the whole book, the Bible, is a revelation of Christ, especially the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I keep saying that, but it is so true. And then verse 9, and I'm only doing up to part of verse 9. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So Christ says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So again, I think it's important to note that Christ sees his people. I think that's a hopeful thing for us to ponder about, that Christ sees his people. He told us in Matthew, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end. So he's with his people via the Spirit. He manifests to them. And it talks about, I know thy works. Well, Ephesians 2:10 says we are made for good works. That's why he created us, to love God, to bend our will towards him, than to do good works for his kingdom. And then Jesus is talking here, I know thy tribulation. Well, tribulation, we all know what that means, trials, persecution, all of that. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. I love that. It's one of my favorite verses as a new believer. So we're going to have tribulation, but we're going to overcome. We've got to overcome tribulation. We've got to overcome trials. We've got to overcome persecution, sickness, all these things we must overcome. Look at that. The word overcome is right in that verse with tribulation. Christ, our glorious Savior, has done that for us. And then he says poverty. This literally means what you would think, to be poor without goods. But yet he says in that verse there that they are rich. It means abounding. Why? Well, they had little worldly goods, like a poor person would, but they're rich in what? Eternal goods. Why? Well, this is a faithful body of Christ. Christ said this, Matthew 6:20-21, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. So this body of Smyrna was rich, even though it was poor, like you and I can be. And how do we know this besides those words telling us? How about this? Smyrna, Christ has no rebuke for this body. The other bodies he was correcting, Christ has no rebuke for Smyrna, but he promises them a crown of life if they remain faithful to the end. That's talked about in verse 10. I would say if you have treasure in heaven, I would say if you have Christ speaking for you, I would say if you are promised the crown of life after enduring, I would say you definitely are rich. And once again, that's faith, obedience, endurance that we preach all the time in the street. It's part of the gospel being played out in the book of Revelation in chapter 2. So I'm going to leave it right there. I'll finish verse 9 in the next study and keep going with some more verses. I hope that was a blessing to you. We're going to start getting into some real meat of the book of Revelation, but it's all good stuff. Seeing Christ pour out to the ecclesia of the bodies and seeing his words, seeing how he judges, seeing what his standard is, seeing what he values and what he praises, I think goes a long way that we today can form ourselves as the body of Christ. Should we stand against false doctrine? Should we walk in righteousness? Should we be enduring and overcoming? Yeah, the answer is absolutely yes. So thanks for listening. Hope that bless you. Check out the other verse by verses. Check out the Ecclesia gatherings. This will be on there to bless people in their walk in Christ. Love you all, and may God be praised.